The spotter. The kick is away. And the kick is... It's one! And the Eagles win!
This is that dream I talked about.
They win!
He's had this dream before. 60.
Wentz can't find anyone. Skips away. Under pressure. Still on his feet.
Sack fumble of the game.
On the 12.
Zach Ertz out wide, 1-on-1.
Lovett flares out to the right. Caught over the middle and into the end zone. Zach Ertz for the touchdown.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What is going on, Eagles Nation? This is the Locked On Eagles podcast, June 14th edition. My name is Louis DiBiase, and I am hyped. I'm absolutely hyped. It is 11 o'clock at night right now, and I just watched about 2 hours worth of Eagles live streams about the ring ceremony, as today the Philadelphia Eagles players, coaches, the entire team received their Super Bowl rings and celebrated the 2017 Super Bowl championship in downtown Philadelphia. And man, what a night. Just for me, sitting here in the studio watching Brandon Graham's press conferences, or not press conferences, excuse me, watching his live streams, Sidney Jones, you know, I was switching back and forth with all the different guys, and seeing the ring up close and personal was amazing. Thank you for everyone joining me here on this ring ceremony recap podcast, if you will, here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio. And of course, LockedOnEagles.com, where we post all our podcasts and articles, posting daily, 5 days a week, at least at the minimum. But, you know, if I'm feeling like it, I'm going to keep posting more and more and more, because I am hyped about these Philadelphia Eagles, especially after today's ring ceremony. It wrapped up, you know, mini camp was today, and they wrapped that up this morning, and they took a time machine back to February 4th, 2017 tonight with the Super Bowl ring party taking place. And I want to first get into my thoughts on how the ring looks. And the ring looks absolutely amazing. If you look at, the best picture is on Twitter for Jalen Mills. He posted a picture of the Super Bowl ring on his finger. It's a masterpiece. It's amazing. Some really cool facts about the Super Bowl ring. It has 127 diamonds, which is the total of Trey Burton, Corey Clement, and Nick Foles' jersey numbers combined. That's the Philly special. That's a really cool part of this. There's an underdog mask underneath the ring, which is awesome. It says, "We all we got, we all we need" on the side. The score of the Super Bowl for a guy like Nick Foles, it says Super Bowl MVP right in the middle. The base of the ring has four sapphires for four championships, you know, in the Eagles' history, of course, in the 40s. Then they won one in 1960, and now, of course, in 2017. So, and the Eagles logo has 52 diamonds. So there are some really cool things with this Super Bowl ring. And, you know, Jeffrey Lurie asked the players if they wanted to go modest with the ring or if they really wanted to bling it out. And, you know, with this being the first Eagles championship in the Super Bowl era, the players wanted to go all out with a lot of diamonds and make it look flashy, bright, and fun. And how do I get my hands on one of these? I don't know if it's just for the players. I don't know if you can buy a Super Bowl ring, if there's replicas. But whatever's in my bank account right now, go in there and take it and give me one of these rings, because, you know, forget summer vacation, forget school bills, forget car gas money. Give me one of these Eagles Super Bowl rings. They are awesome. And look, I'm not going to lie. I got choked up watching the players react to the video documentary of 2017. Dreams and Nightmares started blasting. The players went nuts. Seeing guys like LeGarrette Blount and Torrey Smith come back, Vinnie Curry celebrating with this team was absolutely amazing to watch. It was great. And for anybody that missed the ring ceremony or anything about it, follow me on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE. I think I was the only person doing a live play-by-play of the ring ceremony. I've got cool video recordings of the players' live streams on Instagram, including Sidney Jones and Jalen Mills dancing around with their rings. Brandon Graham, who, by the way, I think showed the rings a little early because Lurie asked the Eagles players not to open them up until everyone got their rings. They did it individually, player by player, coach by coach. And BG showed it, I think, a little premature on his Instagram. And it was fun because Brandon Graham only had 5% left on his battery live streaming as the Eagles were about to show the rings. So I'm going back and forth, switching between him and Sidney Jones, trying to get a better picture, thinking maybe Graham's going to run out of juice on the phone. It was probably the best journalism I've ever done in my career and the weirdest, the strangest sporting event I've tried to cover, which is a ring ceremony. But I think it was my best work. So go follow me on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE for that. So, some takeaways from the ring ceremony. I love how Jeffrey Lurie stood with every player and watched their highlight reel, you know, while getting the rings. I thought that was a really cool part of this. It was funny, too. Even some of the players that really didn't have a significant role when they went up there, Lurie, you know, was friendly with, shook their hand. You know, a guy like Will Beattie, who only played sparingly in the Week 17 game against the Cowboys. He didn't even have a highlight reel up on the screen. It was just two pictures of him against the Cowboys. I thought it was funny seeing him, you know, with Jeffrey Lurie up there. But that was a really cool moment with a lot of the guys. And Nick Foles got a huge standing ovation. Nelson Agholor was the first player to receive a ring, and they went by alphabetical order. So, you know, Agholor begins with A. And I think it was fitting, though. I tweeted this out. I don't think anyone represents the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles more than Nelson Agholor. So him receiving a ring first makes total sense to me. The way he came back after two of the worst years I've ever seen a wide receiver play to start off his career to becoming one of the most electric slot receivers in the NFL last year, one of the most valuable players on the Eagles roster, not just on offense, but the entirety of the team. Probably the most explosive player on offense, just talking pure speed and athleticism. So I thought that was really fitting that Nelson Agholor was the first Eagles player to receive a ring. Best dressed goes to Rasul Douglas, rocking the blue jacket, a black bow tie. He even responded to my tweet, too, about the bow tie, which I fanboy over. Even though I've been in the media for a few years now, it really never gets old when a player notices you say something about them, especially Douglas, who is one of my favorite Eagles players. I think he was the best dressed. If I had to do a rankings, which I'm not going to do on LockedOnEagles.com, but make sure you check out my other articles, shameless plug, I'm not going to do a ranking of the best dressed. That's something for Deadspin or a different website to do. So I'm going to stay with my analyzing the Eagles roster on LockedOnEagles.com. But Rasul Douglas, I will give it to him. Best dressed, if you ask me. Some other takeaways. I thought Nate Sudfeld third wheeled the Foles family like a Super Bowl champion that he is. There was a video of Nick Foles and his wife walking into the theater to celebrate with the Philadelphia Eagles. Nate Sudfeld was right with him. I don't know if they drove together, but in the video, it looked like Sudfeld was third wheeling hard, and Nate Sudfeld's a champion. He probably should be the backup right now if the Eagles would have accepted the trade that would have got a 35th overall pick for Nick Foles. But love the guy, and I thought that was a funny thing to see. One more thing I saw over the live streams. On Brandon Graham's Instagram, there was a part of him talking with Howie Roseman where Brandon Graham said, "You watch, we're going to get it this year in 2018. And Howie Roseman talked about, "Yeah, we just got to get you that $15 million a year." Brandon Graham's in a contract year. He has been talking about wanting an extension for the past 2 years now, really. And, you know, let's just be honest, he's underpaid. Although he hasn't ever had over 10 sacks, this is one of the most efficient pass rushers the NFL has seen in the past 5 years. You know, the talk of man, the Eagles could have had Earl Thomas in that 2009 draft. Those days are over. Brandon Graham is one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. And I thought it was interesting to see Howie Roseman openly talk about it at the party. It seems like they're going to get Brandon Graham paid. I really do think so. You know, Jordan Hicks is a free agent this year. Darby, Jay Ajayi, too, as well. But I think outside of, you know, extending Carson Wentz eventually, maybe this year, or at some point they're going to extend Wentz. I do think Brandon Graham is still a priority signing just based on what he's done for this organization and what he can still do. I feel like he gets better every year, and he's only 30 years old. This is a guy that made the most important play in Philadelphia Eagles history. I think the Eagles are going to reward him this year with a contract. Again, barring that he doesn't totally drop off the face of the earth in 2018, which I don't think so. He's aiming for double-digit sacks, and I think he's probably going to get it this year. And by, again, going back to it, it's so cool to see guys like Vinnie Curry, Torrey Smith, LeGarrette Blount coming back to celebrate with the team. Because, you know, although I'm really excited about this 2018 team that may be honestly even more talented than the 2017 roster, the 2017 team did it. That's such a tongue twister. Let's try this again. The 2017 team, there we go, did it. They pulled off what, you know, I've been dreaming about as an Eagles fan since I was probably 5 years old. Every year, another team would win. I would watch a Hall of Famer carry that trophy between all the players while the, you know, the NFL Films music, the Lombardi theme would play. And I'd get, honestly, I would get choked up. This is how much I care about this team and about the NFL. I would get choked up wanting that to be the Eagles so badly. And weirdly enough, I dreamed about the little parts of winning a Super Bowl. Hearing the commercial, Eagles fans, your team just won Super Bowl 52. Buy all your title gear right now on NFL.com. And me taking out the credit card, ordering everything I could. The little things, too. It's such a dream come true that this 2017 team pulled off what a million Eagles fans have been dreaming about their entire lives. You know, I thought maybe the 2010 team could do it. You know, the Michael Vick comeback year. I thought maybe they had it in them. Then, of course, a 13-year-old me bought into the hype of the 2011 Dream Team, seeing analysts take Michael Vick to win Super Bowl MVP as the Eagles knock off Green Bay to get into the big dance, you know? Hell, I even thought, embarrassingly enough, that Chip Kelly had it in him to get us one. Remember, Adam Schefter actually took the Eagles' 2015 roster to win it all, with Sam Bradford winning Super Bowl MVP, which right now is crazy to think about looking back. But this team did it, you know? Even if Torrey Smith or Blount were only with the team for one season, it was the most important season in Eagles history, and they're never going to have to buy a beer in Philly again. And Blount had such an important role with the Eagles. You know, that he had an impressive playoff performance against the Falcons, the Vikings scoring touchdowns in all three games for the Eagles. He was a huge contributor, and although, you know, he's, again, Smith and Blount probably won't be considered Eagles when they, you know, when they retire. They're forever going to be remembered for this team. Even Torrey Smith, the guy struggled all regular season long. But you make a crazy play against the Falcons when it should have been picked. Remember, at the end of the half, it goes right off of Falcons defender's chest into Torrey Smith's hands. He caught the flea flicker play against Minnesota in the NFC Championship game. He made some big plays here and there in the Super Bowl. Torrey Smith and LeGarrette Blount and those players that came back today are always going to be Philadelphia Eagles in my book, and it was awesome to see those guys come back. Truthfully, I didn't think this team was going to be the one to do it. I'll be real with you. That's what's so awesome about this team is the underdog mentality. I originally had them at 9-7, a two-game improvement from last year. I expected Wentz to take a step, but not really an MVP step. Aguilar becoming a star in the slot in his third year. Who saw that coming? I would have cut him if it was up to me. Thank God I'm not the GM. Doug Peterson going from sometimes a head-scratching game manager in 2016, and sometimes the play calls, you didn't really understand. I look back to the Sunday night game in Dallas in 2016 where the Eagles had an opportunity to take control of the NFC East, get to 5-3, and be ahead of Dallas. And you remember the swing pass to Darren Sproles taking them out of field goal position. He went from that to being a guru that continued his aggressive play calling style. And now when you ask a lot of analysts, who the best play caller in the NFL is, I bet you, I don't know if the majority would say Doug Peterson, but at least half would probably say Doug Peterson is the best offensive mind in the NFL, or at least second behind someone like Sean McVay, who honestly I think Doug Peterson should have the upper hand on right now. But that's a topic for another day. That's the crossover pod with us and the Lockdown Rams, I guess, would be debating Doug Peterson versus Sean McVay. But how about Corey Clement, too, becoming the new Darren Sproles in the second half of the season, an undrafted rookie out of Wisconsin. No one, by the way, thought had strong receiving skills. Suddenly, that's his forte in the offense. He catches one of the filthiest plays I've ever seen in Super Bowl history in between three defenders to score a touchdown. Clement stepped up amazingly, trading for Jay Ajayi. Nick Foles blowing up in the second half of the year, at least in the second half of the playoffs. Jalen Mills taking a huge step in year two. You know, his rookie year, Pro Football Focus ranked him as the worst starting corner in the NFL. I don't think he played that bad in his rookie year, but the step he took in year two, having an elite playoff performance against Atlanta, Minnesota, and New England. The list goes on and on with how special this 2017 team was, and we're just going to take this podcast to remember it, because today was the last day. Doug Peterson said, you know, they're moving on. After this ring ceremony, which just concluded, they're going to put their full attention into the 2018 season, which I'm all for. I totally understand that. But, you know, we have this one more day, or at least the Eagles do. I'm going to be remembering this and enjoying this for a long, long time with the Eagles. It's not something I'll just get over. Really, I'm not going to say no matter what happens in 2018, I'll be okay. But it's almost at that point because I'm still celebrating. Let's get to our poll of the day. And this has to do right up in this alley of the Super Bowl celebration. Have you mentally moved on to the excitement of the upcoming 2018 season, or are you still in 2017 Super Bowl champions mode? 75% of you are with me, and you're still celebrating the Super Bowl win. 25% of you are ready for 2018. And it doesn't mean you're just going to fully get over the victory, but, you know, it's you haven't been watching the highlights anymore. You're thinking more about how do we get back there in 2018, which I've been looking at that. It's my job. I have to do that, but at least once a day, I'm probably watching some sort of Eagles video that's related to them winning the Super Bowl. That's where I'm at right now still. So 75% of you agree with me, and you're still celebrating the Super Bowl. I I'm with you, because this was such a special team. And who knows when this is going to happen again, you know? Some Eagles fans have been waiting their entire life for this. In the NFL, it's not like the NBA, where Golden State can win 3 in 4 years. I think this Eagles team is set up best of some teams in the past, and probably in a long time, they are the most likely to have a maybe mini dynasty here. Not even a mini dynasty, maybe a Patriots-like dynasty with Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson. But who really knows? I'm 21 years old, so I'm young. I didn't have to endure through a lot of suffering, as a lot of Eagles fans have, but it took a long time. I didn't know when they were going to win it or if they ever would. Some people, Cleveland Browns fans, have gone their entire life without seeing their team really do anything. Not just them. The Detroit Lions haven't played in a Super Bowl. The Arizona Cardinals finally got to one in 2009. They're the oldest franchise in the NFL. You never know when these teams will get back there. So when it happens against, again, probably the greatest dynasty in the NFL, the New England Patriots reign, the Tom Brady Belichick era, we took down the greatest quarterback of all time and the greatest head coach of all time to win our first championship with a backup quarterback. How amazing, how special is that? And let's not forget about Carson Wentz. The main reason we won the Super Bowl, I still think, was Carson Wentz. We can argue about what the ring means for him, you know, with his legacy, but he got us there. Him scoring that touchdown, getting that pass over to Alshon Jeffrey in the end zone to beat the Rams, getting the Eagles home field advantage, that was huge. Do you think the Eagles win that game against Atlanta in Atlanta? I don't know, considering it came down to the final play. You know, that fourth and goal play, Matt Ryan rolling to his right, throwing it up to Julio Jones, which, by the way, Jalen Mills played that pretty well. That ball should have been caught. It went right through Julio Jones' hands. I saw a picture of that today. The Eagles were that close. Razor-thin margin from being another one-and-done season. No Super Bowl. No playoff wins since 2008. That's how close we were. So, yeah, you betcha I'm going to be cherishing this Super Bowl win because it was that close away from never happening. And again, back to Wentz. I don't know if we beat Atlanta in the playoffs in Georgia. Do we beat Minnesota in Minnesota? I know we blew them out at the link. Maybe the game's a little bit closer. I still think we beat the Vikings. I'm more confident in that one than the Falcons game just based on how well the offense and defense were performing on a whole. But we were that close. And so Carson Wentz, you know, I love that Jeffrey Lurie said when he gave him the ring, you earned this, because Carson Wentz is the staple of this franchise. And what he did for the team in 2017, him taking that step from 2016, having 16 touchdowns and 14 picks to 33 touchdowns and 7 picks, that can't go. That what that did for this team in their run, it should be, it needs all the credit that it deserves. The moment I knew this Eagles team was probably legit was probably the Thursday night game against the Carolina Panthers. Because although they were 4-1 before that, they beat the Cardinals, who I thought were pretenders at the beginning of the season. The Chargers, too. You know, I thought they were around a 7-9 team. The Giants, that was a good win, I thought, week 3. They lost to the Chiefs, which was a really good team in the first half of the season. And you beat Washington week 1. So they looked promising, but I think the Panthers game, that was their first test. And I've been an advocate for the Panthers for a long time now. I feel like I've picked them to win the Super Bowl 3 of the last 4 seasons. So that was the first real test on prime time. Them taking down the Carolina Panthers is when I really knew, okay, this team is legit. They're putting together, you know, a 4-game win streak, which continued into a bigger one. That, I think, was when I realized the Eagles were legit. What was the moment you knew? Hit me up at DiBiase LOE. My favorite moment, though, of the season was, again, the Falcons playoff game. I haven't felt those kind of in-game nerves in a long, long time. Probably since the Saints wildcard game, when Nick Foles came off the field with a lead with just a few minutes to go. You know, the Eagles hadn't won a playoff game since 2008. And outside of the 2 games after that, you know, outside of the Vikings NFC title game and the Patriots Super Bowl, I've never wanted a game so badly than that Falcons game. You know, those are the kind of wins you never forget. More so than the blowouts. The Vikings game was fun. I wanted to blow that team out of the water with the fans, the 40 fans pretending like they were an army taking over downtown Philadelphia. I wanted to beat that Vikings team really bad. But the Falcons won. Again, the ball going right through Julio's hands. I don't think people really understand just how close the Eagles were to losing that game. You know, it was such a memorable season. And today was such an amazing way to conclude it. It was awesome. Again, I have full coverage of the ring ceremony at DiBiase LOE. 127 diamonds. The total sum of Foles, Trey Burton, and Corey Clement's jersey numbers to the Philly special. How cool is that? There's an underdog mask ingrained under the ring. I got to get my hands on one of these. It's the Jalen Mills picture does it justice perfectly. It's beautiful. It's huge. It's flashy. It's bright. And it's exactly what this Eagles team was all about. It was about having fun. You heard Lane Johnson. This isn't a Patriots type of team where it's all business. You know, when it's got to be, they can do it. But this team was predicated on trusting one another, having fun, creating a healthy environment, a healthy winning culture, and just they had swag. This team just the ring, again, it represents this 2017 Philadelphia Eagles team, and I'm just so happy with how the night went out. It was awesome for me too as an Eagles fan. I got to celebrate downtown on Broad Street. I literally stayed in a hotel on that street. Across from me was City Hall, where fans are climbing the gates, climbing street lights, stealing horses. It was mayhem. It was honestly the coolest moment of my life. It was the greatest day of my life. I got to go to the Fillmore. And I've never, you know, I had Eagles fans coming up to me, just hugging me, sobbing. One dude even kissed me on the cheek. I've never seen so many people come together and be that happy because of what the Eagles did. And today represents that. And that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, courtesy of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Subscribe to us. Please rate the show. Please leave me a review. Constructive criticism is huge for the show. Even if you have a few issues with the show, let me know. Hit me up on, again, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. We're on iTunes, TuneIn Radio. Basically anywhere you can find podcasts, we're there. So for myself, Lou DiBiase, this has been the Locked On Eagles podcast. Ring ceremony edition. The Eagles are Super Bowl champions. Feels so great to say. Thanks for listening. Fly, Eagles, fly.